Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and that means it's time for another edition of the HTXT Africast. Joining me this week are Lungelo Shezi.
I was here last week, right?
Yeah, you were.
Again, yay.
And the chewing noise you hear is coming from Nick Cowan, who's having a delicious sandwich, aren't you, Nick?
Hello. He's going to be fined.
he can't talk because he's got a mouth full of sandwich.
Why am I going to be fined?
Because you're not supposed to be chewing while people are out there listening.
I'm going to rustle my paper packet now.
Oh, gosh. This is going to be an edit for me, a nightmare for me to edit.
No, you're going to get back and go, you know what, stuff this. If he wants to have his mouth full and his paper packet rustling, then he must do that because he's the managing editor.
Okay, fair enough. So, it's the last week of, well, it's the first day of November today.
First day of November.
I can't believe it. This year has literally zoomed by.
It has. Who would have thought?
Don't we all do that every year? We're like, January, oh my gosh, why is January so long? It feels like 12 weeks. And then by the time we're in April, like, okay.
It's because in January you don't have any money.
Exactly. And then by September, we're like, whoa, where did the year go?
Why yeah.
Well, it's not just that. It's also because in January, generally speaking, like you don't have like digital festivals to go to or product launches or things like that.
I mean,
like,
industry's still quiet at that point.
I think the only people who actually do any business in January are usually the video games industry, and they haven't done anything like that for years.
Well, that's...
I mean, do remember there was one January when Bayonetta and Mass Effect 2 came out on the same day, so...
Did people have money to buy?
Probably not.
Probably not. Well, no. I mean, they did. They bought Mass Effect.
But yeah, I mean, January is a terrible, terrible month for everybody. I don't think there's a person alive that goes, yay, it's January. And then after that, like you guys say, everything just starts to ramp up really quickly. Mm. I mean, I think CES is the one that kicks it off at the end of January, beginning of February.
Yeah. Vegas, baby.
And then after that, it's just madness
product
from there
launch
on out.
After product launch.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for... I mean, is Red Dead Redemption 2 out next year?
Yes, 2018.
And is that... I would put money on the fact that they're going to stick it out in April.
I think that they should. I mean, it's like the Easter holidays.
Well, not only that, that's when they stuck out the first one. Mm. And in the past, like with the exception of the GTA games, like that seems to be Rockstar's window. Like, shove something out in April. Nobody else is doing anything.
Something else that is happening, though, at the moment that you are keeping an eye on Ngelo is Feasmas 4 protests are ramping up again.
Okay, so what happened with this? Because you said that there was a report leaked at the weekend, but you said it was like 7 pages.
No, 70.
70 pages.
So, I mean, I don't know how... Oh, man, I don't want to sound mean, but it's kind of feeling like, you know what? This thing needs a solution now.
Yeah.
We can't be doing this every year. And I'm not saying students should stop, you
protesting.
Know, protesting or government, but there needs to be a solution quick.
An amicable solution.
Right?
Preferably.
Because at the same time, as much as you're a student who's striking, you still have academics too.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not like just because you're striking, oh, I'm leaving X university and I'm dropping out and I'm just going to protest for the rest of my life. No. You know. So, President Jacob Zuma appointed a commission to look into the feasibility of free higher education in South Africa in 2016.
Right.
They went around the country to different universities and communities to get people's word in on, okay, how do we achieve, is free education achievable, blah, blah, blah.
If so, how do we achieve it?
Yeah, so just basically that sort of process. And then the reports were supposed to be released last year. It was postponed until this year. I think it was August sometime. It was supposed to be released. It was not released, and it's being delayed for over a month now. Students are hurtful. Am I allowed to say hurtful?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I is. Okay. So, and, well, obviously, universities are going to hike fees for the next year because that's just the normal thing. Even in primary school and high school, that's what happens.
It's called inflation.
Yeah. So basically, by the end of the year, your parents get a letter and say, okay, fees next year will be X amount. So, but universities are saying we can't do that without the fees commission reports. So everyone's just basically pointing fingers at everyone else.
Yeah.
This is your ball. Take it home sort of thing.
Exactly. Yes. So the Office of the Presidency released a statement on Saturday, the weekend, saying that, okay, it's going to be released sometime this week. But But City Press went ahead and leaked the report, but not the full thing. So they just pulled extracts because it's like 70 pages long, so they can't put the full thing there. And now, but even prior to that, students already in Cape Town, so it was the Cape Town, Cape Peninsula University of Technology and UCT, had already embarked on protests. It went to Parliament during Malusi Kikaba's speech.
Yeah.
Where it got a bit violent, so police were there, you know, arresting a few students, but it wasn't nearly as bad as it's been in the past 2 years. So, I mean...
So what was the gist of the report? I mean, did the report just basically say, stuff you?
Visa going up.
So, I mean...
That's a lot of 70 pages just to say stuff
they
here.
They have to go round and round and round.
And use all the legal jargon. And
put in people's opinions. So basically what it's saying is
that... It is in the interests of you to get stuffed.
So the very bottom line is that no. Free education, like completely free tertiary education, no. But there have to be other ways to either partially fund or fund the poorer students or whatever. Mm. But free education for everybody, no.
No.
Not going to happen. So, I mean, basically, here we go again. Schools are closing now, which means kids go to school, and it's going to be quiet for the rest of the festive season. But January is going to come around again, and, man, it's just going to...
Erupt,
flare up again.
I'm not even... It's not even a question of if, it's when, which dates, you know. UWits has already called for a national day of action. They just haven't given a date. So they've called on students from across the country to...
Is this WITS SRC or WITS faculty?
SRC. So okay. Everything's being run by SRC at every university. So they're saying, guys, let's protest, blah, 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 because, you know.
Do you think it'll do any good?
No. What I know about the government in this country is that no amount of protest moves them. None. Like, you could protest for 50 days in a row. Of course, I mean, what they'll try to do is just bring in the police to shut you up and get you off the streets, but they're not going to give you what you want.
I mean, we saw that last year with the Fees Must Fall protest. They were just shut down by police before they could even get anywhere.
Yeah, but didn't the Fees Must Fall protest actually manage to get Jacob Zuma out onto the WITS lawn to talk to the students? Because he was like, oh, no, I'm quite happy so. To speak to you behind
the
doors.
That was 2015 when he said the fees for... Was it 2015 or 16 when it was the Union Building? So there was a huge march to Union Building.
Oh, yeah. No, it was 2 years ago because we were still in Norwood.
Oh, yes. And then he said 0% fees for next year.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's just like, okay, so if it was 50,000 this year, next year it's just still 50,000. It's not zero fees at all, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, South African government, what we've come to know from common service delivery process in the streets to something as big as the Marikana massacre is that, their answer is the police or whatever other means there are to get you off the street and out of their way. Actually solving the problem, forget about it.
See, now that's the thing that I did a story about this last year with the speaking to some students and some faculty members at the universities that were affected by the Fees Must Fall protest that turned a bit violent. And speaking to a lot of them, they were kind of like, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're just moving a lot of our classes online and all that sort of stuff. And I realized that, hang on a minute, though. I mean, why can't you take, like, basic qualifications? You know, we're talking here diplomas, certificates, where somebody can go online, watch a video lecture, let's say it like that, not a tutorial, a video lecture of somebody that's already been filmed and put it out there for people to use for free. So, number one, you're now eliminating all the little qualifications. So diplomas, certificates now go to online.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you have a night class if somebody needs that they pay for.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you do it online. Why can't you do that?
Mm.
You know, like, I mean, it's taking very little resources from you. Sure, testing and stuff can be done online. We've seen that being done for years.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people look at this stuff and go, okay, but we have all these other solutions. Why aren't we using them?
It's part of the reason why UNISA hasn't had much of a problem with Fees Must Fall.
Yeah.
So UNISA in 2015, people did the whole thing there. But ever since there, it's kind of been quiet because, I mean, UNISA doesn't have many on-campus shootings.
Yeah.
It's just the Pretoria one. And then everyone else across the world is basically at home. And their fees are really not that bad. And, you know, they have a nice payment plan going on.
Yeah.
So it's part of that could help the big universities solve the – well, partially solve
some of the problems.
Crisis, and to deal with people who might not have internet access, they could just do what UNISA does, have a little satellite
office
there, yeah, where people can come in and use the internet and ask questions and get some books if they need to, whatever the case may be. But for the most part, you're at home if you can be. And that just, it also eliminates little costs, like traveling costs, accommodation costs. You know, whatever you need to do while you're on campus, outside of being in the class, it eliminates all those little costs around you.
Well, I mean, that's like, I mean, maybe this is not so much about fees must fall, but education systems need to change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're locked into this whole thing of, like, you go to university, you go to lectures for 8 hours a day, you go home. You go to school, you go to class for 8 hours a day, you go home, do homework and stuff after the fact. But I mean, so much of our lives are now online, you know. I mean, like, we operate online remotely if we need to. And I just feel like everything else is kind of like lagging behind the rest of the world. We have this great tool called the internet that allows us to put anything out there. Why not use it as a tool for good?
Well, it's also a matter of perception, though. I mean, like, what you're talking about. And if you remember, like, that film Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
And he showed that very famous scene where he shows up the snotty student in the bar who's quoting certain books and passing it off as his own ideas.
Yeah.
And he says to him, he said, the sad thing about you is that you might do some actual thinking later in life and you'll be able to work out two things. Number one, don't do that. And number two, you dropped 80 grand on an education you could have picked up for $1.65 in the public library, right? And it's like, well, yeah, but I will have a degree and you'll be serving my kids fries. And that's the perception about a degree. A degree is, you know, it's perceived to be the be-all and end-all of tertiary education. And that's where I think the cost comes in. I'm not saying that's the right thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's how it should be. I think that it's a tangible asset that certain people feel you should pay for.
Yeah.
Which I also don't think is fair. Because, like you said, the assets are out there. The resources are out there.
Mm.
What's it hurting anybody to actually, you know, offer qualifications for asset, you know, based on assets that are already free?
I mean, I understand things like medicine and
those law need you to be.
And like, I can understand courses like that, but a BA general, do you really need a lecture?
I have a
but
BA
what
general.
I've seen with it just came to my mind now, the problem with what we're just suggesting is that one of the huge universities, which, you know, I won't mention because I'm not trying to get into trouble, they have that. So you can have online courses and it's like, oh, take this 6 month course in digital PR or whatever. And oh, okay, let me click. And then it's like 20,000 rand. Like, okay, bye. You know, so it's still kind of like, but why are you charging so much? You know, even if you're not giving me books, because I have to buy the books myself if there are any. I'm online. I'm using my data. I'm using my computer.
And
my
want me to pay you 20?
And you still want 20, 30 grand. Hey.
Yeah, but that's what I said. It's the perception, because at the end of that, you get a nice piece of paper.
From X University
with a nice big sort of signature.
Says, I know how to repeat things.
Lungelo knows how to make hats.
And then you get into the working world and no one wants to hire you because you don't have 5 years experience.
Yeah. Ah. Please have 5 years. The best thing I ever seen, sorry to go off on a bit of a tangent, was somebody posted on Twitter saying that they applied for a job where the person was asking for 5 years experience in a certain language, but that language was only like 3 years old.
Imagine. That's just the madness of the HR, whatever world that's...
Oh, you need 5 years experience in my sequel.
You've been in university for the past 4 years. Where are you supposed to get 3 years full working experience from?
Yeah.
Right.
We could go on for this for hours because it's such a hectic topic to talk about. And I mean, like... I don't resent the students for protesting. I really don't. I think
The violence just needs to...
Yeah, the violence I don't agree with at all, at all. But that's goes with anything.
Ask exactly how much of that violence is being stirred up by students and how much of that violence is being stirred up by other people.
So there was a story I wrote last year by some research, a company called Snowdid. I'll link to it at the bottom of this, where they actually analyzed a whole bunch of tweets from Fees Must Fall and found that the biggest number of tweets that were causing dissent and all that sort of stuff were actually not happening anywhere near university campuses. They were happening off campus or in the city or in areas around it. Not saying that people were like lighting fires or poking bears, but yeah, I'll link to it at the bottom. It's really, really interesting research.
Sounds a little bit Orwellian.
It is very Orwellian, but it's a very clever bit of research. And Nick, what have you been doing this week?
Well, speaking of Orwellian, not really Orwellian. I've been playing a couple of games. I was playing Wolfenstein, the new Colossus.
The Nazis.
Very dark.
Ich bin ein Berliner. I actually gave Lungello this review to edit, and she was like, yeah.
There's violence, and then there's like, this is depressing.
No, tell him what you told me.
I forgot what I told you, but I just felt like, oh my, it was so sad and so depressing because, I mean, the whole backstory to this guy who goes around doing what he does, you know, fine white supremacists and Nazis, I mean, it's not much of a huge thing, but the fact that he grew up with an abusive father who didn't love him and then he did this and then his mom.
You take these people to heart. Like, I don't even care most of the time.
So here's the thing, is that like B.J. Blazkowicz, and I'm probably mispronouncing that, you actually get an origin story for him in this.
Okay.
So spoiler alert.
So you connect with him.
So spoiler alert, if you haven't played it and you don't want to know, switch off now. But basically you find out that B.J. grew up in a household where part of the character's lore is he's half Jewish.
Yeah.
Right? His mum's Jewish.
Yeah.
You find out his dad only married his mum to get hold of her money, A. B, the game starts with you with BJ hiding in a cupboard, and you have it from a first person perspective as a kid. And his dad is berating his mum because BJ has a black friend who is a girl. And and when you first start watching it, you're thinking, okay, Deep South, 1940s, obviously very, very ugly. No, sorry, 1930s, obviously very, very ugly. And it turns out that BJ is actually only like 9 years old, and his dad's got a problem with that. And his dad's way of raising him is to beat the ever living tar out of him.
Shame.
And you know, it's hectic.
That is really harrowing. It is, I'm actually like, I don't want to play this game. It's gonna make me sad.
Well, I mean, obviously, like, it says okay. So basically, as BJ, you're a walking slaughterhouse who kills loads and loads of Nazis. Now you know why.
Because
the thing is, obviously, Wolfenstein's also set in an alternative timeline where the Nazis won the war.
Yeah.
And the Axis powers basically took over America. And there are some very disturbing scenes there. I mean, like, there's one scene where you're basically down in Roswell in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And there are Klansmen walking down the street in full Klan regalia, and it's just kind of normal.
You mean America 2017?
KKK, yeah. And this is the thing. There are quite disturbing parallels.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, and I assume this, which makes me an idiot, but Wolfenstein: The New Colossus was basically announced earlier this year. So I'm imagining that they had been developing this for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Which means that they were probably developing it round about the time Trump was ramping up to become president of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
So
is the whole game set in the States? Hip-hop between?
Well, I mean, obviously, you're on a U-boat for a lot of it.
Okay.
That's kind of like your HUD, your base of operations. Yeah. You can go to New Orleans, you go to Roswell, you go to New York. New York just basically looks like what would happen with Fallout. It's been bombed to hell. Okay. It's radioactive. But yeah, it's that. Like I said, there are some disturbing parallels you can draw between what's going on in Wolfenstein.
And obviously, I mean, Nazis on the internet are getting offended that Nazis are being shot.
Well, this is the funniest thing, because I think, what was it, hashtag punch a Nazi or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Bethesda had. And Nazis were coming out of the woodwork going, that's really offensive to me.
Shame.
And? Your existence is offensive to me.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, you're not really going to win many points. It's not like I'm a bad person. I mean, I believe in the genocide of Jews, but like, it doesn't make me a bad person. You know? Why are you picking on me? You know what I mean?
I find white supremacists, et cetera, and everyone else who falls under that bracket very sensitive.
They are super sensitive.
Well, that's the funny thing, isn't it? Because like everybody like jumped up and down about like how Trump got elected and how we're all too politically correct and everyone's just being a massive snowflake. And then they see this hashtag, punch a Nazi, and they're like, oh my God, that's about me.
I'm so offended.
I'm so offended. And you're like, really?
Oh,
really? Because I thought that if there was
Trump also has... his emotional intelligence is very low, because he gets he gets angry easily. He gets annoyed easily.
I agree with you completely, Longello.
I mean, even Zuma has a certain threshold.
Yeah,
it takes a lot to get Jacob Zuma annoyed. A lot. Like, he'll be there in Parliament, and the EFF will be like
berating him, and he'll just laugh. I don't waste my time with people like you.
So sensitive.
Yeah, but every single time anyone says anything untoward about Trump, that's about 900 tweets about the day.
Yeah.
Right now he's tweeting about the fact that there's a big conspiracy against him because, three of his advisors got indicted today, I think.
Well, I'm sure he's tweeting.
Anyway, back to Wolfenstein. So there's a lot of dark stuff in the game. Mechanically, it's a fantastic shooter. It really is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it also is kind of interesting to see someone create a first-person shooter which has, like, a single-player mode, and that's it. That's your lot. There's no multiplayer.
No multiplayer, okay.
The story is the game.
That's cool.
No microtransactions, none of that guff. It's just
no
like,
loot boxes.
It's just straight. It's very, very old school. There are, I think, questions to be asked about its tone at times.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why after this, because I don't want to spoil anything for any of the listeners. But ultimately, it was 18 hours, which I wasn't... I didn't begrudge it, the 18 hours I had to play it. But yeah.
It's quite a long campaign, actually, especially for just a single-player first-person shooter. I mean, I say long in comparison to most first-person
shooters.
Well,
I mean, you take a look
at
like Call of Duty. It's usually like 6 hours.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I've seen a Call of Duty campaign
for longer than
8. But
then again, when the single-player campaign is your game,
you better enjoy it. Although it's more multiplayer, I think.
Also, I'd point out that actually the jump between difficulty levels is big.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw something you said about that, about if you're having trouble and you... It's like
you can,
but if you're not, then you just zoom past some of the levels if you're finding yourself.
Well, there was one particular instance where I was playing it on like just above normal, and I was stuck in this room, and this enemy's just pouring in, and I was just getting killed.
Yeah.
10 seconds flat. I spent an hour on that, and I was like, I'm going to dial down the difficulty on this. Got through that. And then, of course, I felt like I was skating through the game.
Yeah.
So you just jacked the difficulty up again. So you can adjust it on the fly. But like I said, the leap between levels is big.
See, like, I find that really interesting because I would really love to be able to change the difficulty in Destiny 2. Because there are some parts where it's like endless hordes of enemies and you can't do anything.
So I haven't played Destiny 2, and I have to ask you the question, has Bungie moved on from the groundbreaking design of basically putting you in a room and filling it full of enemies until you've shot everyone?
No. Right. So I've been playing Destiny for the last week, give or take. A day maybe, because I had to wait for it to download on my slow as molasses. It took me 2 days, two full days to download that. Anyway, it's very much a case of move through this corridor and then you, like literally last night I was playing and I was moving through the corridor. I was like, I'm safe. I went into this huge open box and I was like, I'm about to die now.
Mm.
And 15 seconds later, a huge Walker tank appeared and I was dead.
Mm.
But they haven't gotten past that. It's still very much like, here's a boss that you need to kill, but before you can kill him, you must kill 5 hordes of enemies. Yeah. Well, it's usually, in Destiny, I find it's mostly 3 before the big guy comes.
Okay.
And then you've got a...
Is Nolan North still in it?
No, I don't believe so. Okay. I don't recognize his voice anymore. I stand under correction though.
Well, you've got that little thing that runs around with you. What's it called? You know what I mean though?
Yeah. The little spike thing that runs around.
Ball thing.
I can't forget.
Anyway,
I can't remember
really
his name
matter.
Now.
In the first game, it was voiced by Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
And I think that people just realized he was phoning it in between Game of Thrones episodes, and so they fired him and got... Well, I don't know if they fired him, actually, but they got rid of him and it became Nolan North.
I think this one, Destiny 2, the real star performance is Nathan Fillion as Cade Six.
Yeah, well, he's good.
So one of the things that I really love about Nathan Fillion is... how easy he can just be funny.
Mm.
Like, I mean, there are points in the game where your little friend is talking to you and is trying to be funny, and you're like, could you shut up? Because you're ruining the soundtrack. But then you meet up with Cade Six, and he just does weird stuff. Like there's one scene, a cutscene, where he's holding a chicken, and he's like, he's holding this chicken, and then he like looks at it with this loving stare in his eyes. Like he's obviously a robot, so you can't really tell the emotion. But if he had an emotion, it would be love. Mm. And he's looking at this chicken, and he puts it down, and he walks away. I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
What? And you are correct. Nolan North is the ghost, the voice of the ghost. And that's what it's called, ghost.
The ghost.
So it is Nolan North.
There's a lot to be said about being able to interact with animals in games. I remember playing Assassin's Creed Origins. And one of the biggest things I really like about that game is you can pet cats.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw like, I think it was Eurogamer was like the most important thing you can do in Assassin's Creed Origins is pet cats.
Yeah.
I really... Sorry, listeners, for peek behind the veil. Before this podcast, I was actually at the next place, and they were showing me some of Assassin's Creed, yeah. And that game is so damn beautiful. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen playthroughs. I've seen nothing.
Mm.
And being able to see that is...
And it's huge.
Yeah.
It's freaking huge.
That map is
huge
massive.
As in, oh.
You can ride from one end of Egypt to another on a camel.
Ooh, nice.
And it's... I mean, like, I showed them, like, oh, here's the map of the city I'm in.
As long as it's
here's the
happy.
Map of the province.
Well, not happy, but
here's
not
the map of the provinces around the province I'm in, and here's the whole map. And you were like, "What?"
Yeah, it's really insane. But like you said, I mean, I think it's really good that Bungie took that.
Ubisoft
took 2 years off of Assassin's Creed because it really shows.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just the movement of the character as well.
Yeah.
Like, I used to make this joke that Assassin's Creed is the only game that you'll ever play that running through a doorway is harder than climbing over the door. And that's not true anymore.
No.
It's not.
It's really, really good. I mean, like I was saying to you as well, Assassin's Creed Black Flag is probably my favorite of the entire series. Mm. And I'm really scared that this one is better.
I was going to give it a run for its money.
Because
at the very least.
Just from the little bit that I saw today, it's really impressive.
Mm.
It looks so far, and from what I've seen, I haven't seen anybody say, "Oh, this looks terrible."
No,
and
you probably won't.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically Skyrim Egypt edition,
yeah.
But way better.
Yeah,
no, Bethesda wishes they could make Skyrim as good as this.
Oh wow, wow!
It's a gauntlet. It's a challenge. They must make us
goodbye all the Bethesda support we had. Goodbye,
Elder Scrolls 6. That's what we need. They can prove it in Elder Scrolls 6. You know, when they eventually do that.
So coming back to Wolfenstein, would you like to play at Lungella?
Goodness, no. I don't really... I mean, someone... this is the type of movie that someone... game that someone makes a movie of because there's such a story behind it.
Mm.
But no, I would never, ever, ever, ever play
it. I think that's kind of it for us this week, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We're running out of time. So thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us and listening to us drone on.
Ramble on.
Ramble, ramble, ramble. I'm the rambler. until next week, ladies and gentlemen, for myself, cheerio from Lungello.
Goodbye.
And from Nick.
Cheers.
We'll see you all next week.
Hey. Okay, so what I didn't tell you about Wolfenstein...
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.